watching Pure Home. Thanks for staying with us. We're talking about surrogacy. We learned who the surrogate mother is. For more on this, we're joined by Ms. Shima Behnam Manesh in today's program, Legal Advisor. Ms. Behnam Manesh, are there fees in these cases of surrogacy? In simpler words, does the surrogate mother get paid for what she does?
Yes, based on the surrogate's motivation, we can say that surrogacy can be divided into two categories, commercial surrogacy and altruistic surrogacy. In commercial surrogacy, as it is clear, the financial topics encourage, the financial issues encourage surrogate to participate in this medical treatment, and she will be paid money for carrying the child. So if the surrogate receive a compensation beyond the reasonable expenses, the surrogacy has been named as commercial surrogacy. While in altruistic surrogacy, the surrogate just want to participate in treatment because of altruism, for helping the infertile woman experience the motherhood. So there is no financial gain for a surrogate. She does not earn any money. And just because of helping the other women, she wants to be surrogate. So there is no money in altruistic ones. But in commercial, she will be paid. And because of that, in surrogacy, commercial surrogacy is forbidden and over severely restricted in most of the developed country. And about altruistic surrogacy, I think one point is very interesting, that most of the surrogates often are the close
relatives and family.
Family members. For example, in some cases, a woman wants to be a surrogate for her sisters, or even, for example, a mother wants to be a surrogate for her daughter.
Her daughter. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Very interesting. And so what are the arguments against commercial surrogacy? What are the cons against it?
Yeah. Commercial surrogacy has been criticized on many grounds. The main critique resolves around the human dignity. Human dignity, I think it's an umbrella term that we cannot exactly define it. But in the simplest form, we can say that it is the idea that humans, regardless of their race, their gender, nations, and cultures must be treated with respect because they are humans. So the persons or the ones who are influenced by Kantian idea thinks that commercial surrogacy turns the surrogate to an absolute instrument which intended parents want to use her and her body for reaching their desire and having the baby. So in the commercial surrogacy, the surrogate will be declined from her highest status given her by God or even by her rationality. And on the other argument on this account, they say that commercial surrogacy can change the baby to, commercial surrogacy is a kind of baby selling. Mm-hmm. And they believe that commercial surrogacy changed the miracle of human birth into a pure financial topic. And in other words, the baby who born on by this method can be treated as a commodity. So in the simple way, they think that you pay money and you gain the baby.
You buy a baby.
Yeah, you buy a baby. So they think that commercial surrogacy is a kind of baby selling. And another is another argument about commercial surrogacy, and they believe that there is a risk of exploitation in this medical treatment, because most of the time the surrogates must be forced to participate in this treatment for gaining money, and she is forced to accept the unilateral conditions that they are unfairly and completely are in favor of intending parents, so there would be no rights for surrogate. So they believe that in commercial surrogacy, surrogate would be as a passive person without any autonomy, without any power for claiming her rights.
Yes.
So it would not be practical.
And she has to be without feelings, because she carries a baby within her for 9 months and then she has to give it up. Not to mention that's the hardest part, I think, as a mother. Okay, well, when we come back to you, we'll talk about the supporting arguments for commercial surrogacy. But first, Mr. Nuray, I think you have some material ready for us.
Yeah, actually I was going through the emails and I found something really interesting from Atal from India, who said that, "Hello everybody in Pure Home, I hope you're all safe and sound. There is a question that I have been thinking about it for such a long time. I want to know, why do some people suffer so much in this life, especially the innocent such as children?" Well, that's a really good question, you know. Of course, we're going to have the right expert in our program to answer you in a more expertise manner. But from what I know, about a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to one of our members of our clergy, and I discussed this question with him. He said that it's part of the life of a Muslim and a human being in general to go through hardships and to go through easy rides and hard rides. It's part of the trial we're all going through in our life. And we say that we should stay calm and we should use patience and we should always rely on God in order to get over these problems and obstacles. So I hope you got your answer to a certain extent, but more on that, I'm going to have the right expert on the program a few weeks from now so that we can discuss it further on. It was a really good and enlightening email that you sent us. All right, it's time for the book introduction. Stay with us. Welcome back. I've picked for you today the book Islamic Geometric Patterns by Eric Brugge. The Marvels of Islamic Patterns, the most recognizable visual expression of Islamic art and architecture, are not just a beautiful accident. The ancient practitioners of this craft used traditional methods of measurement to create dazzling geometric compositions, often based on the repetition of a single pattern. The results are magnificent in their beauty and awe-inspiring their execution. Now, with the aid of this book, everyone can learn how to master this ancient art and create their own intricate patterns or recreate classic examples. All one needs are a pencil, a ruler, a compass, and a steady hand. First, technical tips demonstrate the basics, how to draw a square, hexagon, or pentagon. This is followed by some of the best examples of geometric patterns from around the world, arranged into three levels of complexity with careful step-by-step instructions. The book features geometric patterns from some of the most famous and beautiful Islamic architecture and art, including La Mesquita, Cordoba, Capella Palatina, Sicily, Mustansiriya, Madrasa, Baghdad, Umayyad Mosque, Damascus, Mosque of As-Saleh Tal'al, Cairo, the Quran of Rashid ad-Din, over 290 illustrations. The book also includes a CD. All right, let's take a break and watch a very interesting and, of course, enlightening story. Thank you.
fireworks. Once upon a time, a group of monkeys lived together with their leader, which was an old and experienced monkey called Ruzbe. Someday, near the sunset, he saw some flames of fire in the middle of the town. He also heard some sound like little explosions. He called one of his monkey servants, named Detective, and said, "Go to the town immediately and see what is happening there. Then, come here and tell me about it." Detective the monkey went to the town, hid in some dark place, and watched people. He returned to the mountains and told Ruzbe, "There isn't any special news in the town. There isn't either a war. Tomorrow is a traditionally celebrated holiday, and people are having fun, and children are setting off fireworks. What you hear is the sound of the little explosives, and the small flames you can hear are scoops." Then Ruzbe called Harold, the monkey, and asked him to inform all old and wise monkeys and ask them to gather around. When everybody came, Ruzbe stood on a rock and told the monkeys, "I saw something strange today and realized that it is not advisable for us to live near such people. These people cannot understand what is good and what is bad for them. They harm themselves. It is obvious that such people harm other creatures very easily. Get ready, and we will move to a faraway forest tomorrow." But the monkeys replied, "We believed that their setting off fireworks is none of our business." Ruzbe and his family moved to a range of mountains far away from that town. After a while, something happened in the town. There was a festival again, and people were celebrating it by setting off fireworks. One of the explosives, which hadn't burnt in the air, fell on the roof of a house. There was some lumber on the roof, and lumber burned. The wooden roof burned too, and the fire reached the hay warehouse. The hay warehouse belonged to the elephant's barn, and the elephants belonged to the town governor. The walls of the barn burned, and the fire reached the elephants. Before people arrived and put off the fire, some of the elephants had burned, and many of them were badly injured. The vets said, "The only solution is monkey sweat. You should bring a lot of monkey sweat and rub them on the elephants' skins so that their wounds and blisters will be healed little by little." Suddenly, the attack to the mountains started, and a lot of monkeys were captured. Some of the monkeys escaped to the top of a high mountain and shouted, "What do you want from us? What is our fault?" In reply, they said, "You don't have any fault, but there is no other choice. Elephants are expensive, and there are a lot of monkeys in the forest." Then the monkeys said, "Yes. Our fault is that we didn't listen to the advice of our leader and preferred to live near mindless people who burn their own property, and whenever there is harm, they make monkeys pay its price."